voice shouted back. That was Tom Moyston, of course. Tom's always cracking jokes. Well, he thinks they're jokes. I never laugh. Very funny, Tom, I yelled sarcastically and started picking my way down the bush track. The Glen's messy, but I have to admit it's a great meeting place. Most of the kids in Ravenhill stay away from it because it's supposed to be haunted. And most of the adults in Ravenhill go to the park when they want to jog or walk their dogs or wheel their babies around in prams or something. So we meet in the Glen whenever we want to be private. The gang was sitting around in the usual clearing. Tom Moyston, Nick Contalis, Sunny Chan, Elmo Zimmer. Liz should have been there as well, but for some reason she wasn't. As usual, Nick Contalis had scored the most comfortable position, leaning against this big tree trunk. Nick has thick, dark hair and dark eyes and perfect skin and teeth. He's pretty cool. He's the total opposite to Tom, who's tall and skinny and clumsy like you wouldn't believe, and has braces on his teeth as well, which probably explains why the two of them are always getting at each other. I found a patch of reasonably clean grass and sat down. Any work yet? I asked. We're wasting time. I'm not, Sunny Chan said. I'm training for that gymnastics competition. My coach reckons I've got a really good chance. For once, Sunny looked almost excited. Normally, nothing much seems to show on her face. I don't know what goes on inside her, because she isn't exactly a close friend of mine. If she was a close friend, I'd try and get her to do something about the way she looks. Sunny could be really pretty. She's Chinese-Australian, so she has shiny, straight black hair, but she generally just ties it back in a ponytail. And she wears jeans and runners most of the time, or tracksuits if she's going to one of her never-ending classes. Gym, taekwondo, yoga, you name something that gives you muscles and makes you sweat, and Sunny does it. Sunny, I said patiently, that's not what I meant. I meant we're wasting time for teen power.
Actually, someone rang me about a job today,
Nick began, but Elmo Zimmer butted in.
Hold on a minute, Nick, he said. Let me just finish telling you about Dad's story.
I'd forgotten about Elmo for a moment. He's easy to forget. Nick's good-looking already, and Tom might be good-looking one day when he stops growing and gets the braces off his teeth. But Elmo will always be little and chunky and red-haired and freckled and messy. I know that because I've seen his father. Elmo's dad's called Elmo Zimmer too. Zim for short, and he looks exactly the same as Elmo, only taller. Not much taller. Zim runs The Pen, our local newspaper. It was started by Elmo's grandfather, whose name was, you've guessed it, Elmo Zimmer. So Elmo wants to run The Pen as well, when he gets old enough. He talks about it all the time. I usually tune out.
It's about the new refuge in Ravenhill Street, he was saying now. The place for homeless kids. Stephen Spears interviewed some of them. You ought to hear the stories. Really bad.
I yawned. I really was feeling tired, but straight away Elmo stopped raving on and looked at me under his eyebrows. I hate it when Elmo looks at me like that, as if I'm shallow and selfish. I'm not selfish. I once sent half my allowance to this appeal that was advertised on TV for these little kids who were starving in India or Africa or whatever. But you can't spend your whole life feeling sorry for people and getting angry about things that happen. At least I can't. Elmo can, though, and Liz is practically as bad. Go on, I said with a sigh. Don't mind me. I wouldn't have been so nice about it if I'd known what all this refuge stuff was going to lead to. Trouble. Again, for Teen Power Inc. and, more importantly, for me. Chapter 2. Big News.
The problem is, Elmo began, Some Raven Hill people don't want the refuge here. They're scared the kids will start dealing in drugs or breaking into houses or something. But these kids aren't dangerous. Not the ones Stephen saw anyway. They just need help. You should hear some of the stories, Rochelle.
No thanks, I said with a shiver. Listen, Elmo, why are you telling us about this? Has the refuge got work for us or something?
Elmo frowned. Not exactly, but we can help. We can spread the word about it being a good thing and so on.
I must have been staring at him because he leaned forward and started trying to explain to me.
Like, if your parents start talking about the refuge over dinner or whatever, you'll be able to tell them about it now, won't you?
He said,
so they won't get the wrong idea.
I grinned to myself. Elmo Zimmer has a pretty weird idea of family life. Maybe he and his dad talk about homeless kids and politics and the problems of the world over dinner. But my family talks about the weather and TV shows and what we did during the day, like normal people.
All right, we've got the picture. Can we get back to Teen Power now?
Nick asked, tapping his fingers impatiently. I nodded hard. Nick and I mostly end up on the same side. I can trust him to bring Elmo and Liz back to Earth whenever they get too carried away.
The guy who runs the palace rang me this morning.
Nick went on.
He wants us to hand out leaflets about the holiday movie program.
Sounds okay, Sunny said. It's easy work and...
Easy?
I groaned. Standing around in the street looking like dorks, forcing people to take pamphlets they don't want, and getting varicose veins and sunburn while we're at it? No way, Nick. Delivering the pen on Thursday mornings is bad enough. Tell the palace guy he can keep his job. I thought that would settle the whole thing. The others generally go along with my suggestions, which is reasonable, because I'm generally right. But this time Nick didn't take any notice of me.
Rochelle, this is no time to be picky.
He said firmly,
we haven't got anything else, and it's the holidays, the big money-making time. We need to take any job we can get. That's right,
Elmo said.
Besides, if we turn this palace guy down... He won't come back, and he might tell other people we aren't worth trying. We can't afford that. What do you reckon, Tom?
Tom never agrees with Nick if he can help it. I looked at him hopefully, but I was disappointed.
Yeah, right,
he said,
and we might get some free tickets as well as the cash.
Listen, I argued, you haven't thought this through? Sure, we want work, but we want interesting work. We don't want the sort of work that anybody could do. We've all got special talents and we ought to use them. We should wait till something better comes along.
Like what?
Elmo said bluntly.
No one's offered to pay Tom for drawing cartoons, or Sunny for doing gymnastics, or you for giving them fashion advice.
He gave me that look again.
Not lately, anyway. We get paid for walking dogs and minding kids and weeding gardens. Ordinary stuff like that. Our ad does say we'll do anything,
Tom put in.
And sad to say, Rochelle, if we want money and movie tickets, that's what we have to do. Life's tough in the big city.
Sunny had become bored with the whole conversation. She found a low-hanging branch and held onto it, practicing her leg lifts. Tom noticed and started sketching her. They all make such a fuss of Sunny's gym stuff. I don't think they realise that dancers are just as fit as gymnasts. I was just wondering whether I could get my leg quite as high as she could. Naturally, I didn't want to try in front of the others in case I couldn't. When she swung around. Here comes Liz, she called. I turned around and watched Liz pounding up the track towards us. A branch knocked her hat off, but she just grabbed it up and charged on. Typical. I wish she'd left the hat where it was. She made it herself. It's blue crushed velvet with a floppy brim. She loves it, but it looks like a shower cap gone wrong. Even though Liz has been around me for years and years, since we were both in preschool, she has no clothes sense at all. She struggled through the last bush and sank down beside us, gasping for breath.